welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will appreciate a light-hearted reflection of the late 60s music scene in Los Angeles as seen through the eyes of a truly unique songwriter, Randy Newman. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will examine the very first hit record ever achieved by Berry Gordy's Motown group of labels. While the success of this single was undisputed, the writing credits on the song itself have been in dispute since the song originally hit the charts. Later, we will hear a catchy track by a four-man rock act from Liverpool known for their distinctive hair. No, we are not talking about the Beatles. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will present one of the most famous guitar riffs ever, a riff that was literally dreamed up by the co-writer responsible for the music on this classic number one hit. But first, just as we do each week, we begin with a single that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then became a mystery. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we weave our magical spell with a popular release on the Bell label credited to songwriters Tony McCauley and Barry Mason, but subject to a court proceeding and settlement 16 years later because a good portion of the lyrics were apparently written by Sylvan Whittingham, Barry Mason's wife at the time. The imaginary act that recorded the song turned out to be several prominent British studio session players coupled with prolific vocalist Tony Burrows, the same lead singer on hit singles by The Brotherhood of Man, White Plains, and First Class. When the record became a hit, a real group needed to be assembled to tour and make TV appearances. Barry Mason's wife, Sylvan, found the group Greenfield Hammer, who agreed to change its name and become Edison Lighthouse. She ain't got no money, clothes are kind of funny, her hair is kind of wild and free. Oh, for a love rose, where my rose, there it goes, and nobody knows like me. She talks kind of lazy, and people say she's crazy. Spending a week at number 40 with the fastest climbing number one hit record in British chart history at the time. That was the studio group Edison Lighthouse and Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes, which hit number 4 in Cashbox, 4 in Record World, and 5 in Billboard.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
20.
We just heard Edison Lighthouse, a band that didn't really exist. Now at number 20, we have a 1976 recording by a four-man pop rock act made up of writers, producers, and vocalists, all of whom were involved in a project 10 years earlier that, just like Edison Lighthouse, used seasoned pros at first to create their instrumental tracks. Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote and produced the first single released by the Monkees, Last Train to Clarksville. They also wrote and produced the theme song for the show, as well as most of the material for the first season of the TV show and their first album. In fact, Boyce and Hart contributed songs to the first five Monkees albums, four of which hit number one. The fifth, by the way, peaked at number three. There was no Boyce and Hart song on the Monkees 1968 movie soundtrack for the movie Head. By that time, Boyce and Hart weren't just songwriters and producers, they were also a duo with hit records, making TV appearances of their own on shows such as Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, and The Flying Nun. The early good fortunes for both entities did not last, though. By 1976, the Monkees were in reruns and had basically been out of business for 6 years. Boyce and Hart's hits had also slowed down. At this point, Boyce and Hart teamed up with two of their friends from the Monkees, and the four of them recorded an album for Capitol Records. They called the new project Dolan's Jones, Boyce and Hart, and toured under a huge banner that read, "The Guys That Wrote 'Em and The Guys That Sang 'Em." The Dolan's Jones, Boyce and Hart album was incredibly well produced, comprised of recording sessions featuring, among others, Bobby Hart on keyboards, Tommy Boyce on rhythm guitar, Louis Shelton on lead guitar, Keith Allison of the Raiders on bass, and Jim Helmer of Gulliver on drums. Track that should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was a group made up of the guys that wrote them and the guys that sang them, Dolan's Jones, Boyce, and Hart.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a humorous lyrical portrait of a party in the Los Angeles music scene in the late 60s. What makes the song so unique is the point of view of the narrating character. The song was written by the now famous singer-songwriter Randy Newman. Randy first pitched the song to Eric Burdon and the Animals, who released it in 1967. While it was supposed to be a single, the execs at MGM changed their minds, and it remained only an album track. Newman then released his own version of the song on the 1970 album 12 Songs, providing his own piano accompaniment with Ry Cooder on slide guitar. While Randy's version was well produced, it was not commercially successful. However, Three Dog Night heard it and soon recorded their own version.
Want some whiskey and you want a sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions?
best party that could ever be. Don't turn on lights, cause I don't want to see.
Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. That ain't the way that I'm bound, no.
Open up your window, let some air into this room. I think I'm almost choking from the smell of stale perfume. And that cigarette you're smoking, I'll scare me up to death. Open up the window, sucker. Let me catch my breath.
Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. That ain't the way to have fun, son. That ain't the way to have fun,
son. She's out! Oh, the door. I'm looking at my girlfriend. She passed out on the floor. I've seen so many things I ain't never seen before. Don't know what it is. I don't want to see no more.
Mama told me not to come.
Spending a week at number 11 on the Cashbox survey, on its way up to number 1 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, that was Three Dog Night and their cover of Randy Newman's Mama Told Me Not to Come, the song that was perched at number 1 during Casey Kasem's very first official episode of American Top 40. Now we are up to number 10, a pristine recording by the same group responsible for the song Yellow Pills that we featured a few months ago. In a recent social media post, Jordan Oakes, the respected rock writer that founded Yellow Pills magazine and who later became the curator and executive producer of the Yellow Pills compilation series, commented about this band, 2020, and this track from their amazing 1979 debut album released on Portrait and distributed by CBS. Jordan called this Mike Gallo and Steve Allen composition, quote, a Beatlesque ballad with timeless appeal. It's truly top-level stuff, as is the entire album, with melodic precision, lyrical connectivity, and emotional resonance. In short, 2020 had a depth of feeling that set them apart from most of their contemporaries, close quote. with Tell Me Why Can't Understand You, a favorite of mine that should have, at the very least, reached number 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was the four-man modern rock act on the Portrait label, 2020.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have a 1974 song that came about in the United States, very much like the British song we heard back at number 40, Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes. Written by Norman Dolph and Paul DeFranco, this unique single was recorded by an ad hoc group of studio musicians. After that collection of studio players drafted Ohio Express vocalist Joey Levine as lead singer, the group, so to speak, was called Reunion.
Beep, beep, bumble, and the Stingers, my The Hooper, Rachel Singers, Lonnie Mack, a twang, and Eddie Hitzman ring. We're going steady, take it easy, take me high, lie, lie, house of fire, no commotion, poke a patch of deeper purple satisfaction. Baby, baby, gotta, give me, getting hot. Sammy's cooking, Leslie Gore, Richie Valens, end of story. My view's to Fuji, I'm a Kamasutra, Rama Lama, Richard Perry, Spectre Barry, Righteous Archers, Nielsen, Harry, Shimmy, Jimmy, Coco Poppin', Fats is back and finger poppin'.
Life is a rock.
Tabulation, Carly Simon, Eddie Holder, Rolling Stone, and a folder. Johnny Cash and Johnny Rivers, Cancer Now. I got the Shivers, Mongo, Jerry, Peter, Paul, and Paul, and Mary, Mary, Dr. John, the Nightly Tripper, Doris Day, and Jack the Ripper. Gotta go, so gotta sweat a Leah Russell. Give me Shell, the Miracles, and Smokey Bliss, Sly Guitars, the Fender Bass, and Mushroom Mumbling, Bonnie Bramley, Wilson Pickett, stop and kick it.
Life is a rock, but the radio.
Jane, Dale, and Ronnie, Kukla, Brandon, Norman, Oakland, Denver, John, and Osmond, Donnie, J.J. Kayla, ZZ Top, and LL Bean, and Dee Dana, David Bowie, Steely Dan, and Sing Me Proud of CC Rider, Edgar Winter, Junior Summers, Eyes of Marcia, Connie, Thunder, Eric Clapton, Peter Wallace, Stephen Foster, Doodah, Doodah, Good Vibrations, LB Ronda, Surfing Girl, and Little Honda, Tida, Tida, Honey, Honey, Sugar, Sugar, Yummy, Yummy, CBS, and Warner Brothers, RCA, and all the others.
Spending a week at number 9 on the Cashbox survey, on its way up to number 7 there, and number 8 in Billboard, and number 9 in Record World, that was the non-existent studio band Reunion, featuring lead vocalist Joey Levine, the same guy that sang two big hits for the Ohio Express, Yummy 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 and Chewy Chewy. This one was called Life is a Rock, But the Radio Rolled Me.
Number 8.
Now we're up to a selection that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is a 2012 recording by a German electronic act that has been considered modern from the day it was founded by Edgar Froese back in 1967. When Edgar Froese first established the synthesizer-based Tangerine Dream, the group was way out on the fringes of recorded music. To the rock writers in Germany, Tangerine Dream represented a pioneering spirit of synthetically generated music. Some of their early work was considered cosmic, helping to establish a scene of groups dedicated to a new form of music, ultimately called electronica. During a lengthy association with Virgin Records, the group underwent numerous personnel changes, with Froese being the only consistent member. They were one of the first acts to make use of primitive computer sequencers in the late 70s, foreshadowing what would become common recording technique in the mid to late 80s. After the world caught up to their sound, Tangerine Dream was highly sought out to provide movie soundtracks and background music scores. Motion pictures such as Sorcerer, Risky Business, Firestarter, Near Dark, and Miracle Mile are just a few of the 60 or so movies that have used the soundscapes of Tangerine Dream. While most of their songs were originals, they did record experimental covers from time to time, such as this unusual arrangement of the Lennon McCartney classic, Norwegian Wood, This Bird Has Flown. With a selection that was modern and great and should have reached number 8, that was Tangerine Dream and their version of Norwegian Wood, This Bird Has Flown.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Now we're up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and while we just heard a cover of a Beatles song, our next single is the original version of a song that the Beatles covered. This amazing song has somewhat of a muddy beginning, which has led to a long-standing dispute over exactly who contributed what when it was originally written. The song apparently developed out of a spontaneous recording session at Berry Gordy's Hitsville Studio A in Detroit. Gordy and talented vocalist Barrett Strong began improvising a tune on piano, experimenting with a vocal. Soon, they were joined by Benny Benjamin on drums and Brian Holland on tambourine. Then things get really murky. According to writers Jim Cogan and William Clark, quote, Two kids walking home from high school heard the music out on the street and wandered into Hitsville and asked if they could play along, close quote. While the school kids played along on guitar and bass, someone turned on the tape machine. Cogan and Clark pointed out that, quote, Strong claimed he never saw the two boys who played bass and guitar again, close quote. However, the unknown guitarist was ultimately identified as Eugene Grew, who, years later, claimed that it was indeed Barrett Strong that showed him what to play. A young Don Davis, who later had the distinction of producing records at both Motown in Detroit and Stax in Memphis, also contributed a guitar part to the recording. Strong sang the lead vocal and was the credited artist on the first hit released by the Motown group of labels. That song, aptly titled Money, That's What I Want, reached number 2 on the Billboard R&B chart in 1960. It sold over 1 million copies and became Motown's very first gold record. The song was later recorded by a number of acts, including the Beatles. It was the Beatles version that I first heard. Until I read the credits on their second album, I had no idea that they didn't write it. While nobody has ever disputed the success of the song, a long-standing dispute arose over the songwriting credits. Barrett Strong claimed that he co-wrote Money with Berry Gordy and Janie Bradford. Strong's name appeared on the original copyright registration with the United States Copyright Office. However, Berry Gordy disputed the claim of Barrett Strong, blaming the appearance of Strong's name on a clerical error. While the dispute over Money was never resolved to the satisfaction of either Strong or Gordy, by the mid-60s, Barrett Strong teamed with producer Norman Whitfield and wrote some of the most successful and critically acclaimed soul songs ever, most of which were, ironically, released by Motown. Songs such as I Heard It Through the Grapevine, War, Smiling Faces Sometimes, and several classic records by The Temptations, including Cloud Nine, I Can't Get Next to You, Just My Imagination, Ball of Confusion, and the amazing Papa Was a Rolling Stone, which earned Barrett Strong a Grammy for Best R&B Song in 1973. Obviously, whether he wrote all or most or none of the song Money, Barrett Strong knew how to write a song. Accordingly, he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2004. Our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7 belongs to him.
The best thing that you can give them to the birds and bees. I need money.
That's what I want.
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 Your love give me such a thrill, but your love.
Little Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was Barrett Strong and a single that hit number 2 on the R&B chart and should have made it up to number 7 on the pop charts in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. Money, That's What I Want. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Alberto from Italy heard our 9670 kilohertz broadcast through a web SDR using a mini whip antenna. He says that his location was approximately 30 kilometers south of Florence, and he reported a strong signal of 55555. He sends his best regards and says he was very pleased to find our show. Well, Alberto, we are just as pleased that you found us, and we send our best regards right back to you. Victor from Russia received our 9670 kilohertz broadcast on his XH Data D808 using a 5-meter AdWords antenna. He reports 45433 and states that the transmission held a good audible signal with slight noise and moderate fading. He extends to us his wishes for success, prosperity, health, and peace. Well, Victor, we are privileged to have you as a listener, and we send those very same wishes back to you. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in the form of an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. Today's 4-man band, a staple of the 80s college rock scene from Athens, Georgia, certainly qualifies. Back at number 9, we played a unique single from the 70s comprised of lyrics that were basically words thrown together as a long rhythmic list and not necessarily sung to an actual melody, at least not until the verses reached the chorus. Our bonus hit, which comes from the 80s, is structured quite similarly, with verses made up of lyrics that are basically a list, with some of the words making sense and some not so much. But when the chorus comes around, the vocal patter turns into singing, and the listener is treated to an incredibly catchy hook. Written by Bill Berry, Mike Mills, Peter Buck, and Michael Stipe, here is REM, and It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up and knock speed. Fury's breathing down your neck. Team my team reporters babble Trump, Kevin Croft. Look at that, no plane, fine, then. Uh-oh, overflow, population common poop. What it'll do, save yourself, serve yourself. World serves its own needs, listen to your heartbeat. Dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right. Right, you patriotic, patriotic. Slam, fight, bright, light, feeling pretty sight.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
Caught in foreign tower, slice and burn, return. Listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book, burning blood, letting every motive escalate. Automotive incinerate. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush. Uh-oh, this means no fear. Cavalier, renegade, steer clear. A tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, you symbiotic, patriotic, slam, butt, neck, right?
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
With a single that peaked at number 16 on the mainstream rock tracks chart, number 4 in Australia, number 12 in France, and number 69 on the Billboard Hot 100, that was REM, and It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, a single that should have reached number 6 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Radio and Records. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have yet another Van Duren composition from the album Thin Disguise by Good Question. Most of Van's songs are extremely melodic, and this one is no exception. With a chorus that sounds like it could have come from the songbook of Harry Nilsson, here is Good Question, produced by Don Smith and the ever-present Jack Holder, and an album track that should have been released as a single, Never Too Late, KT.
This love has gone so far beyond my best expectations. This time I feel like I'm open at last. It's not crazy. Because I held on too strong, afraid of being left alone. Affairs could only go from good to bad, but I was wrong about
that should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 5 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Radio and Records. That was Good Question and their modern rock power ballad, Never Too Late, KT.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 5.
4.
Now we're up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a song that charted significantly better in England than it did in the United States. Today, however, we are flipping things around, presenting a single that hit number 1 in both the US and in Canada and peaked at number 7 in England. This Grammy-winning recording was produced by the musician we mentioned just a few songs back, Don Davis. We mentioned that Don had the distinction of producing records at both Motown and Stax. He stated publicly, once he started his own production company, Groovesville, that he hoped to straddle the line between the two sounds. He first concentrated on recordings for Johnny Taylor, hitting the top 40 with the bouncy Who's Making Love, and then having a monster record with Disco Lady. Next, Don turned his attention to a husband and wife act that consisted of former members of the Fifth Dimension, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. While the Fifth Dimension hit the charts on both the Soul City and Bell labels, as a duo, Marilyn and Billy signed with ABC Records. Billy Davis, a St. Louis native not related to Don Davis, was impressed by Don's production work with Johnny Taylor from Stax. Billy convinced the ABC label to put Don Davis in charge of his and Marilyn's sessions. It turned out to be a perfect idea. If there was ever a single that combined the melodic vocals of Motown with the amazing instrumental countermelodies like the ones played at Stax by the Memphis Horns and the Memphis Strings, this is the one.
Cause I'll accept you as you are. You won't be different.
1984 with a selection that peaked at number 7 in England, 8 in Ireland, but hit number 1 in Billboard, Cashbox, Record World, and in Canada. That was the duo of Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. and You Don't Have to Be a Star to Be in My Show.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we're up to our 3 from way downtown. And just like last week, this week we are talking about downtown Liverpool. And just like last week, we are featuring a 4-man rock act from Liverpool with trademark hair. However, instead of the mop tops from Liverpool known as the Beatles, this week's Liverpool-based act comes not from the days of the British invasion, but from the glory days of MTV. From Liverpool, here is A Flock of Seagulls with Wishing If I Had a Photograph of You, a song whose video featured lead singer Mike Scores' unique hairstyle.
It's not the way you look, it's not the way that you smile, although there's something to learn. It's not the way you have your hair, it's not that certain style that could be that for you. If I had a photograph of you, something to remind me, I wouldn't spend my life just wishing. It's not the makeup and it's not the way that you dance.
With our 3 from way downtown, that was A Flock of Seagulls and Wishing If I Had a Photograph of You, a single that hit number 1 in France and actually peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Tracks chart.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a selection that should have reached number 1. And, in a roundabout way, this song had a connection to number 1. It was included on an album that hit number 1 and stayed there for 18 consecutive weeks. And it was the flip side of a single that spent 7 weeks at number 1. A couple of weeks ago, we played I'm a Believer by the Monkees, pointing out that the Monkees' version of that song was a far bigger hit than the original version released by the song's writer, Neil Diamond. And we mentioned that the record existed simply because the record exec in charge of the Monkees' material, Don Kirshner, believed that they needed a more poppy-sounding song than the proposed single turned in by Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart, the songwriting and production team that, as we discussed back at number 20, handled the Monkees' debut single and album. Regardless of the monumental sales attributed to I'm a Believer, there are music fans out there who actually preferred the Boyce and Hart garage band style Monkee material over Jeff Berry's slicker productions. I happen to be one of them. While I have loved I'm a Believer since I was 4 years old, I have always slightly preferred its flip side, a garage rocker by the Monkees that Boyce and Hart originally pitched to Paul Revere and the Raiders. I'm not your stepping stone.
I'm not your stepping stone. I'm not your stepping stone. You're trying to make your mind.
mark in society. You're using all the tricks that you used on me. You're reading all them high fashion magazines. The clothes you're wearing, girl, are causing public scenes. I said, I'm not your stepping stone. No shoes, but now you're walking around like your front page news. You've been awful careful about the friends you choose, but you won't find my name in your book of who's. Who's I said, I'm not your stepping stone.
I'm Not Your Stepping Stone, those were the Monkees, who, on this occasion, including recorded contributions from Louis Shelton on lead guitar, Bobby Hart on organ, Larry Taylor of Canned Heat on bass, Billy Lewis on drums, Tommy Boyce on overdubbed backing vocals, and Mickey Dolenz on the lead vocal. Now we're up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a single recorded by the original Bad Boys of the British Invasion, the Rolling Stones. While the group's charismatic lead vocalist, Mick Jagger, wrote the lyrics by a swimming pool in Clearwater, Florida, the music was literally delivered to Mick's songwriting partner, Keith Richards, in a dream. According to writer James Fox, Keith Richards composed the music to I Can't Get No Satisfaction in his sleep and recorded a rough version of the famous guitar riff on a Philips cassette recorder. He woke up not remembering that he had written it. When he rewound the tape and listened to it in the morning, he heard himself playing the riff for about 2 minutes on an acoustic guitar. Then he heard himself drop the pick, followed by snoring for the next 40 minutes. The Rolling Stones first recorded the track on May 10, 1965, at the Chess Studios in Chicago. Not completely happy with the results, they re-recorded it 2 days later at the RCA Studios in Hollywood. Writer Ian McPherson reported that Keith actually wanted to record the song a third time with a horn section playing the famous riff, saying, quote, "To my mind, the fuzz tone was really there to denote what the horns would be doing," close quote. However, the other Stones, along with producer and manager Andrew Lug Oldham, thought the RCA version could not be topped, so they outvoted him. They were right. When the recording without horns was released as a single, it immediately hit number one in Australia, Austria, Ireland, the Netherlands, Norway, South Africa, West Germany, Great Britain, and across the board in the United States. I Can't Get No Satisfaction is ranked at number 2 on Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. According to Acclaimed Music, Satisfaction is the 5th most celebrated song of all time in popular music. It has been inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame and was added to the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress as a sound recording that is culturally, historically, or aesthetically important. According to Mick Jagger, who wrote the words and sang them, quote, "It was that song that really made the Rolling Stones, changed us from just another band into a huge monster band. It has a very catchy title. It has a very catchy guitar riff. It has a great guitar sound, which was original at that time. And it captured the spirit of the times, which was very important in those kinds of songs. Alienation," close quote.
I can't get no satisfaction.
with our Hall of Perfection track at number one. Those were the Rolling Stones, and the song that contains the riff that came to Keith Richards in his sleep, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to John at altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.